The tongue is a fire. The very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. And tonight, in last night's lesson, we talked about controlling our tempers. And I think that's a lesson that most of us would say, I need to apply that to my life. Tonight's lesson, if you escaped last night's lesson, you're not getting out of this one. Tonight, what we want to talk about is the need to put aside slander, gossip, and the like. This is a humbling lesson to preach, because usually between the time that you prepare to preach it and you preach it, you've violated the principles that you're going to preach on. I think that when you look at spiritual priorities, putting aside slander and gossip and things like it is way, way, way up there on the top of the list. I think you'll find this to be the kind of lesson that hits you right between the eyes. Just for a second, think about your toes right now. Think about them. They feel pretty good? Enjoy that, because it's not going to last. By the time this lesson's over, this, I think, is going to be something that you feel very personally that you need to do better on, and I hope and pray that this lesson will inspire us all to do just that. Because the more we can bring into control our tongues by allowing God and His grace through our obedient faith to dictate the way we use it, we're going to find our lives to be infinitely better in infinitely number of ways. So let's tonight talk about putting aside slander, gossip, and the like. Several points we want to discuss. First of all, let me make the point to you that slander is sinful. Turn over to Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16. Appreciate everybody's presence. Appreciate the encouraging words that you've shared with me. Appreciate the hospitality. I love being here with you, brethren, and you've made me feel so welcome, and I appreciate that so very, very much. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16, right out of the old law, what does it say? You shall not go about as a slanderer among your people. The New King James Version uses the word talebearer. Right there in the old law, you shall not go about as a slanderer among your people. God didn't want it for the children of Israel. Look at Psalm chapter 15 and verse 1. Psalm chapter 15 and verse 1. I think we need to see from cover to cover that God has always been very serious about this thing called slander, because it is sinful. Psalm 15 and 1 said, O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander his neighbor with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. The one who dwells with God is one who does not slander with his tongue. Look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 18. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 18. The latter part of that verse very succinctly says, he who spreads slander is a fool. Finally, to show you that God hasn't changed His mind about the matter, look at Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19. God makes it very clear from cover to cover that slander is sinful. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. Jesus here speaking says, out of the heart come forth evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness. That's a pretty bad list of stuff, isn't it? Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness. I'm not a liar. I don't steal. I don't commit fornication. I'm not an adulterer. I haven't murdered anybody. Yeah, but notice the company that slander keeps. The next one is just that. It says slander. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. So the first point I think is successfully established. Slander is sinful. Now let's make the same point about gossip. Turn over to Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. Not only is slander sinful, but so is gossip. So is gossip. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, talking about the Gentile world, it says, just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. And again, a laundry list of horrible things, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. Notice next. They are gossips. And notice what the next one after that is. Slanderers. So there's a thing called slander. It's sinful. This passage establishes it. There's another thing called gossip. And it too is sinful. This passage establishes that. Verse 32, it says, although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. So slander is sinful, gossip is sinful. And let me suggest to you that both of these things are real problems for us. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 4, what you have here is a little slice of the culture of the children of Israel in that day and age. And you know what? They had a real problem, and that problem was called slander. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 4. Here's what people had to be warned about. He said, let everyone be on guard against his neighbor. Do not trust any brother, because every brother deals craftily and because every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. The Jewish culture was steeped with this problem called slander. And you know what? It's just exactly the same today. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. We are warned here, and I appreciate hearing those turning pages. We are warned here about the age in which we live. And we're told it's going to be an age of, amongst other things, slanders. 2 Timothy 3 and 1 says, realize this, in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be, and there's a whole list of things there that are listed. Notice what it says. It says, men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable. Notice this. Malicious gossips. The New King James Version uses the word slanderers. And is this talking about people that make no pretense at Christianity? No. Because if you notice verse 5, it says they hold to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. And we are commanded there to avoid such men. I think that gossip and slander are real problems for God's people. I think it always has been, it is, and it will be. And that's why we constantly have to be guarding against misusing the tongue. So we've talked about slander being sinful. We've talked about gossip being sinful. We've talked about how these are real threats to us. Well, what in the world do we mean by slander or gossip? Let's define our terms. What is slander? The definition that I provide here that comes from Mayhall for slander is this. The open, intentional sharing of damaging information. Slander is the open, intentional sharing of damaging information. Now, let's break this definition down into its subcomponent parts. First of all, slander is about damaging information. The reason slander is sinful is because it is destructive. It tears people down. It is a curse. Look at Psalms chapter 50 and verse 20. Psalms chapter 50 and verse 20. The reason slander is sinful, and we'll talk about this more in a little while, is because of how damaging it is. It's the open intentional sharing of damaging information. Psalm chapter 15, verse 20, it says, "You sit and speak against your brother. You sit and you speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son." So slander is something that you do against a person. If you slander someone, you curse them. You tear them down. You are doing things that are destructive to them. So it's about damaging information. Now, let me suggest to you this. While it's about damaging information, don't make the mistake to assume that just because something's negative, it's necessarily damaging. Sometimes the open intentional sharing of negative information is frankly the most constructive thing you can possibly do. Look at Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. Don't make the assumption that just because you're saying something negative about somebody, you're necessarily slandering, because there are times, frankly, the best thing you can do for somebody is say something negative about them. You see that in Matthew 18:15. It says, "If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother." Now, what if he doesn't listen to you? If he doesn't listen to you, then you've got to start in a more open way, intentionally sharing negative information. That's not damaging, though. It says, "If he does not listen to you, take one or two with you, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every fact may be confirmed. But if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector." So when we're talking about slander, you're talking about damaging information, but don't assume that just because something's negative, it's necessarily damaging. It doesn't always follow. Third, let me suggest to you that what we're talking about with slander is damaging information, but not necessarily false information. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19. Biblically speaking, you can slander somebody with the truth. And you see that in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19. It says, "He who goes about as a slanderer tells lies." Is that what the passage says? No. "He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. He tells things that need not be told, even though they may be true. That doesn't mean necessarily they need to be told." I had a beloved relative who would defend her gossip with the statement, "If it's true, it's not gossip." That is not a true statement. It's just not a true statement. Mayhall said the following. He said, "Usually we think of slander as a false statement made about someone with malicious intent. The dictionary, the English dictionary, backs this up by defining slander as the utterance in the presence of another person of a false statement or statements damaging to a third person's character or reputation, usually distinguished from libel, which is a written thing. However, in the Bible, the definition of slander goes beyond making false statements. Based on the Old and New Testament, slander is the open intentional sharing of damaging information, and it is characterized by bad reports that blemish or defame a person's reputation, whether or not they are true." Just because something is true doesn't mean that you can tell it. Stoll said the following, "Truth is not the only standard we need to consider when we're talking negatively about somebody else. Whether what we're saying is true is not the only question. While truth is certainly one issue, so are confidentiality and potential harm. Scripture provides more complete standards for our speech than just whether it's true or not. For example, in Romans 14 and 19, it says, 'Let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another.' Not every true thing that's said builds somebody up. There are things about me that are true that if somebody got up here and told you about it, would serve absolutely no constructive purpose. In fact, it would be a destructive thing. I mean, aren't there forgiven skeletons in all our closets that really need to be kept in the closet because God has forgiven them and we've put them in the past? Does it serve any constructive purpose to bring them into the present? Usually not. But if we do that sort of thing, we are slandering. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, 'Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear.'" What happened when Noah came out of the ark? He planted a vineyard. made wine and did what? He got drunk. Now, what did one of his sons do? Saw his father who had gotten drunk and had his nakedness uncovered, and he went and he told his brothers about it. Was that true? Yes, it was true what he said. Should he have said it? No. Why? Because he was sharing damaging information about his father. He should have done as much as he could to cover his father's sin and not to make a public spectacle of his father. So what am I trying to get at here? I'm trying to get us to understand the definition of slander, the open, intentional sharing of damaging information. When you're dealing with slander, you're dealing with things that are damaging. Now, just because something's negative doesn't necessarily mean it's damaging. And just because something is true doesn't mean it's not damaging. You can slander biblically with the truth as well as with a lie. And finally, it's open sharing, but not necessarily openly sharing with everybody. Look at Psalm 101, verse 5. Psalm 101, verse 5. Don't think that you have to get on the rooftop and proclaim to the whole community something to slander somebody. When it talks here about the open, intentional sharing of information, what it's meaning is sharing it with somebody other than someone who needs to actually be hearing it. Psalm 101 and verse 5 says, "Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy." So do we all have that down? Slander, the open, intentional sharing of damaging information. Slander, by definition, is something that damages. Just because something's negative doesn't necessarily mean it's damaging. Just because something's true doesn't mean it's not damaging. And when we're talking about openly sharing, we're just talking about sharing with someone other than a person who actually needs to hear this information. So that's what slander is. Now, what is gossip? That's our next question. What is gossip? When you look in God's Word, basically there are two kinds of damaging speech. According to Stoll, the first is idle chatter demeaning of another's integrity and reputation. Now notice that. The first is idle chatter demeaning of another's integrity and reputation. This category of verbal misuse is not always malicious in its intent, but it's always damaging. The concept is frequently translated Scripture as whisper or gossip. Whereas the second court category is the one we've already discussed. That includes the intentional malicious communication of bad reports. This concept is normally translated slander. Now, these concepts that we're studying about tonight, slander and gossip, are very closely related. In fact, Stoll calls them catastrophic cousins. What is the difference between slander and gossip? I believe the difference, if any, is intent. In other words, the difference between slander and gossip is why the damaging information is being shared. I believe that slander is born out of malice. When you slander somebody, you want to hurt them. That's the whole point in saying what you are. You want to hurt somebody. In 1 Timothy 3:11, 2 Timothy 3:3, and Titus 2:3, the New King James Version has the word slanderers, where the New American Standard Bible has the idea of malicious gossips. So I think that when you're talking about slander, you're talking about maliciously, intentionally trying to damage somebody. Now, gossip is different because gossip, while it shares damaging information, it doesn't do it out of malice. It does it for other equally unacceptable reasons. And Stoll, in his book, suggested six different reasons why we might gossip. Okay, what are you saying, Tim? I'm saying the difference, the fundamental difference between slander and gossip is intent. When you slander somebody, you want to hurt them. Well, can you hurt somebody with your words even if you don't mean to? Yes. And that's what we call gossip. Well, if you're not gossiping to hurt somebody deliberately, why would you gossip? Let me suggest to you several possible reasons. First of all, it's just curiosity. Stoll said this, and I thought it was very good. He said, it's not by accident that 1 Timothy 5:13 links busybodies, people whose curiosity has gone wild, with gossips, those who share what their unchecked curiosity has discovered, in the same negative context. Now, we'll look at this passage later, but right together, you have the idea of busybodies and gossips. Why do we sometimes say things we ought not say about people that is damaging? Is it because we want to hurt them? No, it's just because we're curious about people. I mean, why when you go to the grocery store are all of those, you know, magazines, those gossip rags, why are they there? Because we're just curious about people. And so a lot of times it's born out of curiosity that we'll spread something that's damaging to another person's reputation. Another reason sometimes we say things we ought not say is not because we get up in the morning and say, I'm going to really hurt somebody today. It's frankly because we're just not busy doing other things that we should be doing. And you're going to do something. And so what happens? Well, a lot of times because you're not busy doing what you should, you start doing things like you shouldn't. And one of those things that we often do is gossip. Look at 1 Timothy 5 and 13. Let's read the passage that we just referred to. It says here, at the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go about from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. Therefore, I want younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach. So you see both of these things in this context. Sometimes we talk about people in ways we shouldn't because we're just curious about people. Sometimes we talk about people the way we shouldn't because simply we need to do something. And since we're not doing what we should, we do things we should not. Let me suggest to you another reason we often say negative things about people that we shouldn't say is because we want to be the center of attention. I mean, I can get people's attention. Did you hear about so-and-so? Immediately, all the ears prick up and you got everybody's attention. And that's why we do it sometimes. It's not really, I mean, if you stop that person and say, do you really want to hurt this person you're about to say these things? Is that really what's the engine that's driving this train? And the answer would be no. Then what is it? Well, I just want you to pay attention to me. Sometimes we gossip just to make ourselves feel better about ourselves, to elevate ourselves relative to other people. And that's a sad thing, but it's absolutely true. For some people, the way they make them feel better is by basically putting other people down. Koopman, in his book, Beauty Care for the Tongue, said, it is when we feel insecure and threatened that we are most likely to spread ugly gossip about others. By rubbing some of the glitter from someone else's crown, we believe our own will shine more brightly. By cutting others down, we think we will feel taller. A fifth reason we can gossip sometimes is simply because we're bitter, we're angry, we're wrathful. Look over at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. Maybe we're in the fit of a clamor. We looked at this passage last night. It says there, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, and notice the final thing, and slander be put away from you along with all malice. See, have you ever just been fighting mad? And you say something that damages somebody. And again, if you could just cause freeze frame that situation, and somebody would come up and interview you. You know, it's kind of one of those science fiction things where everything else is frozen and you've just said something slanderous or gossiping about somebody and everything's frozen, and then somebody from off stage enters in with a report, you know, like a reporter, puts a microphone in your mouth and says, hey, do you really want to hurt this person right now? Is that really what this is all about? And the answer so often is no, I'm just mad. I'm venting. That's why we gossip sometimes. I think finally another possible explanation for why we gossip is to soothe our anxieties. You know, some of us are just miserable human beings, and if we can talk about other people's misery, it makes us, relatively speaking, feel better about ourselves. So you see what I'm trying to get at? I'm trying to make a distinction between slander and gossip. Slander is something you do with the intention of hurting somebody. Gossip is something that we do that has the same effect, but we do it for other reasons, and there's a lot of other reasons that are just as unacceptable as intentionally desiring to hurt that cause gossip to be an evil thing. All right, now, next point. Why are gossip and slander sinful? It's because they're so damaging, brethren. Stoll said in his book, the Jews of the intertestamental period, the period between the Old and New Testament, they call the source of slander the third tongue, because it is fatal to three sets of people: those who speak the slander, those who listen to it, and those about whom it is spoken. Let me suggest to you that slander and gossip damages three different things. First of all, it damages souls. It is sinful. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20. If we practice gossip and slander and we are not repenting, we are not right with God. We will lose our soul. Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, I'm afraid that perhaps when I come, I might find you not to be what I wish, and may be found by you not to be what you wish, that perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, disturbances. Now, we have both of our ideas in this verse. And how do you distinguish between slander and gossip? I think it's in the way we've already talked about it. Why is it such a bad thing? Because obviously here is something that if we do without repentance, we will lose our soul. So slander and gossip damages souls. Let me suggest to you, secondly, it damages reputations. Tryon Edwards said, to murder character is as truly a crime as to murder the body. The tongue of the slanderer is a brother to the dagger of the assassin. You know, we would sit there and think, I'd never take a knife and just stick it in somebody's gut. I'd never do that. But we can take words which are equally as damaging and use them to inflict that same kind of damage, if not even greater damage. I mean, frankly, you can recover from an infliction of a knife wound far faster sometimes than you can with the damaging words that come as a result of slander and gossip. Let me suggest to you finally that slander and gossip not only damages souls and reputations, but it also kills relationships. Look at Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 28. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 28. It says there, a perverse man spreads strife, and notice this, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. Gossip is something that separates people. Now, when you hear somebody gossiping about your friend, what does it do? It starts creating in your mind doubts about your friend, doesn't it? Conversely, what happens if you hear your friend gossiping about somebody else? Does that build your relationship or hurt it? It hurts it. Why? Because the real truth is this. If today they are gossiping to you about somebody else, it's very well may be that tomorrow they're going to be gossiping to somebody else about you. I remember vividly we had a gospel meeting one time, and the preacher that was visiting with us and I got talking, and my wife overheard our conversation, and she responded. She said, "Tim, you know, y'all were gossiping, and you need to be very careful talking to him about things, because if he's that free about talking of others when you're around, won't he be just as free to talk about you when you're not around?" Look at Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20. Slander and gossip causes strife. It causes contention. And that's why it's so important for us to make sure that our words build up and don't tear down. It says, for lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisper, contention quiets down. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 20. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 20. You know, sometimes we think, well, I can do a little gossiping safely because it'll never get back to the person I'm talking about. It gets back a lot more than we think. Ecclesiastes 10 and 20 says, furthermore, in your bedchamber do not curse a king, and in your sleeping rooms do not curse a rich man. For a bird of the heavens will carry the sound, and a winged creature will make the matter known. Why is slander and gossip such a bad thing? Well, because it kills souls, it kills reputations, it kills relationships. And often this damage is irreversible. It can be irreversible to the person who speaks such things. Look at Proverbs 25 and verse 9. You don't want to get a reputation as a gossip or a slander, because you may be done with it long before it's done with you. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5, verse 9 says this. Argue your case with your neighbor. And the point there is argue your case with your neighbor. And do not reveal the secret of another. or he who hears it will reproach you, and the evil report about you will not pass away. You don't want to be the kind of person who has a reputation of being a gossip or slanderer. You want the kind of reputation that says basically you can tell so and so something and it stays with them. The damage of slander and gossip is often irreversible to the speakers, and it's often irreversible to the listeners. Haven't you ever had that experience where somebody says something, and just as soon as it's said, you said, I wish I'd never heard that, because now it's always going to be in there. Slanders share bits of information that are difficult to ignore or forget. The juicy morsels stay with us. They permanently stain our perceptions of and appreciation for those about whom we are hearing. My son, not too long ago, we were watching a show that I had grown up watching. And I had always loved the show. And he asked the question, he says, do you think that character's gay? And it never even crossed my mind that that character might even be gay. But is that now ever going to get out of my brain? We got to be careful with slander and gossip, because when you hear it, it can permanently change the way you perceive other people. And finally, slander and gossip are so bad because not only can it be permanently damaging to the speaker and to the listener, but also because it can be permanently damaging to the one about whom you're speaking. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 13 through 19, we won't read the passage, but it's there talking about what happens if you marry a woman and basically you decide you made a mistake and you try to get out of it by claiming she was not a virgin when you married her. If the father can prove that in fact she was, what was the penalty? The penalty was that the man had to marry the woman and could never ever divorce her. And why would that be the penalty? Because all you have to, you have to prove that somebody has a bad character? No, all you have to do is suggest that they might, and the damage can be just as damaging as if they actually had such. We've seen that in politics, haven't we? Politicians understand this unfortunate truth. You know, you don't have to prove the negative things that you say about your opponents. Just start throwing garbage out there, and some of it will stick. Not necessarily because it's true, but because that's just the nature of slander and gossip. I love this story that Stoll tells about a young man during the Middle Ages who went to somebody and confessed, I've sinned by telling slanderous tales about someone. And he asked this confidant, he said, what should I do? So the person he was confiding to told him to go and put a feather on every doorstep in town. After doing so, he asked if there was anything else he should do. Well, the confidant told him to go back and pick up all the feathers. The young man excitedly replied, that's impossible. By now the wind will have blown them all over town. And the confidant said, so have your slanderous words become impossible to retrieve. We're talking about deadly serious business when we start saying things that are damaging about other people. It's deadly serious business. We're to use our tongues as a blessing and not a curse. And so I hope we all understand that this little thing is something that definitely we need to bring into control. It should be, if not already is, a high priority item. So let's make some applications, and the lesson will be yours. Let's make some applications. The first application is this. We need to understand slander and gossip. Take this outline. Study it repeatedly. We need to understand that slander and gossip, number one, are sinful. We need to understand, number two, that they are prevalent. We need to understand, number three, what they mean. And number four, we need to understand why they're so damaging. Let me suggest to you a second application, is that we need to not have any fellowship with slander or gossip. But 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. It makes it very clear to us that slander and gossip are things that we are to leave alone. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. We need to get this out of our system. And let me suggest to you that there's two ways we are to not fellowship slander and gossip. The first is by not speaking it. Do not speak slander or gossip. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, the passage we've looked at several times yesterday and tonight, what does it say? It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander, let all slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Don't speak slander and gossip. I would suggest to you, brethren, before we say anything, we need to go down what I call the anti-gossip slander checklist. I think this is a really good set of points that we need to memorize that we go down anytime we start talking about somebody else. Question number one, am I about to say something that's negative about somebody else? That needs to put us on alert. Number two, we ask the question, am I certain that what I'm about to say is true? Do I know it's true? Have I verified its veracity by two or three witnesses? You know, just because somebody says something doesn't mean it's true. Just because it's written doesn't mean it's true. Scripture makes it very clear that before you say anything that's going to be negative about somebody else, you better make sure that what you're saying you know to be true. But that's not the end of the test, the checklist. Remember, just because something is true doesn't mean it bears repeating. So the third test is this. Would saying it serve a constructive purpose? Sometimes saying true things that are negative about another person are the most constructive thing you can possibly do. But sometimes it can be very, very destructive. So make sure that this negative thing you're going to say that's true, make sure it serves a constructive purpose. But even if it serves a constructive purpose, you still need to ask yourself, but am I going to be telling the right person? I may need to share this negative true information, but do I need to share it with person A as opposed to only person B? And finally, we need to ask ourselves, if I do need to share this negative true information with person B, am I sure that I am saying it in the right way? Brethren, how we say things is every bit as important as what we say. And I think a lot of times Christians don't understand that. We need to preach the truth in love. So when you're about to talk about somebody, run down this checklist. All right, is it negative? Okay, if it's negative, do I really know it's true? And if it is true, would it serve a constructive purpose? Does it bear repeating? And if it does, am I going to say it to the person that really needs to hear it? And if I am I really going to be saying it in the proper fashion? We do not need to be speaking slander and gossip. Frankly, we need to be so busy doing right that we have little time or inclination to slander or gossip. We've already read the passage out of 1 Timothy 5, 13 and 14 and 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. Brethren, one of the reasons why we do a lot of this stuff is because we're not busy doing the right stuff we ought to be doing. Make yourself so busy in doing good and filling your mind with the Word of God that you crowd out slander or gossip. Let me make a final point before we go on. Turn over to Acts chapter 23 and verse 1. I believe we need to be very, very careful about how we talk about our leaders. I get emails from brethren, many of whom are very conservative politically. And I tell you what, when I hear people who are very liberal slandering and gossiping about people who are very conservative, you know what? It bothers me deeply. They should not misrepresent. They should not say things that are damaging. But you know what? It bothers me just as much when people who are very conservative say things that are gossip and slander about people on the left. I get some emails from conservative brethren that basically are nothing short of sinful diatribes. It's all innuendo, half-truth, evil surmising. And brethren, God has something very specifically to say about the way we talk about our leaders, whether you agree with their politics or not. Look at Acts chapter 23 and verse 1. It says, Paul, looking intently at the council, said, brethren, I have lived my life with perfectly good conscience before God up to this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded those standing beside him to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, God is going to strike you, you whitewashed wall. Do you sit to try me according to law and in violation of the law order me to be struck? But the bystander said, do you revile God's high priest? And Paul said, I was not aware, brethren, that he was high priest, for it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. Now, does that mean you don't disagree with them politically? Not at all. Does it mean that you are making sure that you are being respectful and not slandering and gossiping when you're talking about the ruler of your people? Yes, that is what it means. Look, if you would, over at Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. I think this is an important passage. Brethren, I do think that the liberal agenda is secularizing our country, and it is taking us in a direction that we should not go. But do you fight evil with evil and produce good? Absolutely not. Look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. What does it say? It says, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. Notice this, to malign no one. Brethren, we do not need to have any fellowship with gossip and slander in the sense of speaking it. Let me suggest to you also, we don't need to have any fellowship with it in the sense of listening to it. It's just as wrong to listen to slander and gossip as it is to speak it. Look at Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19. It says, he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore what? Do not associate with the gossip. Don't listen to slander and gossip. Joseph Hall said there would not be so many open mouths if there were not so many open ears. Amen. Plautus said this, slander mongers and those who listen to slander, if I had my way, would all be strung up. The talkers by the tongue and the listeners by the ears. Amen. Socrates said, listen not to a talebearer or a slanderer, for he tells thee nothing out of goodwill. But as he discovereth of the secrets of others, so he will of thine in turn. And sometimes we think, well, it's not as bad to listen to gossip as to speak it. Yes, it is. But you also have to realize so often when you listen to it, you often will talk about it too. Stoll said, hearing gossip adds unneeded information to our mental notebooks. These negative thoughts give Satan a foothold in our lives. Hearing often results in telling. For some people, gossip in very soon becomes gossip out. And let me suggest to you, not only do we not need to listen, we need to oppose it. We need to be opposing slander and gossip. What should you do if you're caught in the middle of a group of people that are slandering and gossiping? You need to stand up for the truth in a loving way. There was a Bible study recently where a woman found herself in just that situation. Share the quotation. It goes like this. It says, recently in a Bible study, one woman who works constantly with professional women said, when I find myself in a group that is tearing someone to shreds, I smile sweetly and I say, you know, I'm getting very uncomfortable about this. When asked what the response usually was to her statement, she said, they changed the subject. Another suggestion was to respond softly. That would really hurt her if she knew what we were saying. Brethren, you don't have to be mean or ugly to nip slander and gossip in the bud, but we need to do it. Now, sometimes people, when you do that lovingly as you possibly can, say, we really shouldn't be saying these things. They'll look at you like, well, who are you? Some self-righteous hypocrite? Don't let that discourage you. Be humble, but do not allow people to slander others in your presence. Not only is it something that we need to stand against, but also I think it will build people's trust and confidence in you. Kobe said the following, and listen to this, I think it's very true. If you want people to trust you, defend people who are not present. The people who see you defending those who aren't present, those are the people that are going to trust you to defend them when they aren't present. Let me explain what I mean. It says, when you defend those who are absent, you retain the trust of those present. Confronting gossip takes considerable courage, and many people would prefer to take the course of least resistance, belittling and criticizing, betraying confidences, or participating in gossip about others behind their backs. But in the long run, people will trust and respect you if you are honest and open and kind with them. You care enough to confront, and to be trusted, it is said, is greater than to be loved. And in the long run, I am convinced to be trusted will also to be loved. So, don't listen to gossip. If you listen to it, you're wrong. If you listen to it, you probably will share it with others. You'll probably speak it. So when you're in a context where people are saying things that ought not be said, stand up for the truth in a loving way. Not only will you be helping yourself, but you'll be helping those other people. In many ways, you'll keep them from continuing to sin, and also they will know, okay, you are somebody that I can trust because you defend people that aren't there, so when I'm not there, you will defend me. And let me suggest to you finally, if you hear something damaging about somebody, don't believe it unless you confirm it to be true. So often, you'll hear something, and the tendency is, since you've heard it, I gotta believe it. But that's not what love does. Love believes all things. Love gives people the benefit of the doubt. God makes it very clear that before we believe a negative report about somebody, we need to confirm it on the basis of two or three witnesses. Don't just assume that everything you hear negative about people is true, because often that is not the case. Treat people the way you want to be treated. If you don't want people hearing negative things about you and automatically believing it, you don't believe automatically negative things about other people. Some other applications. Don't justify slander or gossip. Oh, we can excuse ourselves so easily. I mean, the classic one, of course. Well, if it's true, it's not gossip. Don't make excuses for what's inexcusable. Stoll put it this way. We all know we shouldn't gossip, yet our thirst for news, both hearing and telling at times, seems insatiable. Consequently, we devise ways of sharing it to salve our consciences. Will Rogers quipped, the only time people dislike gossip is when you gossip about them. Brethren, sometimes we slander and gossip and we think we're perfectly sanctified because as long as we preface what we're saying with what phrase, we think it's okay. Bless their heart. When somebody uses that phrase, watch out, because something pretty ugly is probably about to come out of that person's mouth. We think as long as we're kind, Southerners think as long as we say, well, bless their heart, they're the worst charlatan the world's ever seen, we're fine. Even though we might not know if they're the worst charlatan we've ever seen. Don't make excuses for slander and gossip. And final point that I want to make, and the lesson will be yours, is we need to respond appropriately when we're victimized by slander and gossip. Have you ever been on the giving end? Sure. I think all of us have said damaging things about others that we shouldn't have said. Probably, I would suspect, almost with 100% certainty, everybody in this audience, I don't know what the number will be, I would say in the high 90% of this audience will probably violate what we're talking about tonight in the course of tomorrow. So we're all on the giving end of this sinful conduct. Are we ever on the receiving end of it? Yes, we are. And do you like it? No, absolutely not. It's a horrible thing to be slandered and gossiped about. And if that happens to you, let me suggest you some things to do to make it so that it's bearable. First of all, be humble. You know, you sit there and you hear somebody's bad-mouthing you, and you sit there and you go, how in the world could somebody do something like that? Well, for the same reason you do it yourself. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20. It says, there is not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and who never sins. Also, do not take seriously all words which are spoken, so that you will not hear your servant cursing you. For you also have realized that you likewise have many times cursed others. When people talk bad about you when they shouldn't be humble. You've done the same thing yourself. Secondly, take responsibility. A lot of times people shouldn't be saying things about us, but sometimes what they're saying is true. Now, should they be saying it? No, but you know what? If we hadn't done it, they wouldn't be saying it. I just think it's easier to take gossip and slander if you take some responsibility for the fact that they even had the ability to say it at all. Third, if you hear somebody talking bad about you, either confront them or forget about it. Look at 1 Corinthians 4 and 13. Here's a passage that I don't often see anybody talk about. But I think it makes the point that I'm making here very clearly. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. What did Paul do when he was slandered? In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13 it says, when we are slandered, we try to conciliate. Conciliate means to stop someone from being angry or discontented. Placate, pacify, reconcile, make compatible. Conciliate implies the use of arbitration or compromise to settle a dispute or to win somebody over. If somebody's talking bad about us, what do we want to do? We don't want to talk to them. This passage says, talk to them and try to make a friend out of an enemy. If you're not going to do that, let it go. Fourth, make sure that when people are talking bad about you, that you let your light shine. Your light shines never brighter, I would say, than when people are speaking bad about you and you respond as in Christ-like manner. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. You know what? If we're slandered and gossiped against and we just give as good as we get, all we're showing the people of the devil is that we're of the devil too. You rarely have as good an opportunity to let your light shine as when people are slandering and gossiping against you. Respond the way Christ would have you respond. Don't repay evil with evil. Repay evil for good. I'm not sure why I have take comfort in there. Oh, yeah, there's take comfort. Look at Luke 6:26. I've found this to be very, very comforting. There's been certain people that have been running me down. It helps if I'll just stop and say, you know what? Do you really, Tim, wait a minute. Given that person and their character, do you really want that kind of person saying good things about you? Sometimes, frankly, some people's slander and gossip is the best compliment you can ever get. Luke 6:26 says that. It says, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way. Fielding said this, the slander of some people is as great a recommendation as the praise of others. Amen. Next, don't repay evil for evil, overcome good for evil. If you're having a hard time dealing with slanders and gossips, actively, proactively, do good things for them. I think it helps you deal with people who are sinning against you if you will do good things for them. In Psalm chapter 35 and verse 12, and we're almost done, it says, they repay me evil for good to the bereavement of my soul. Psalmist here speaking. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting. My prayer kept returning to my bosom. I kept praying for these people. I went about as though it were my friend or brother. I bowed down mourning as one who sorrows for a mother. When people were talking bad about him, he did good for them. And I think that helped him deal with it. Even though it says at verse 15, but at my stumbling they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. The smiters whom I did not know gathered together against me. They slandered me without ceasing. Like godless jesters at a feast, they gnashed at me with their teeth. If somebody's talking bad about you, actively go out of your way to do something good for them. I think it'll help you deal with them. Two more things. Sometimes you just got to accept the fact that people are talking bad about you and there's absolutely nothing you're going to be able to do to make it stop. In verse 15 there that we just read, it says, they slandered me without ceasing. That's the way it goes sometimes. People are out there doing this and they shouldn't be. What can you do about it? Nothing except the final point. And that is to give it to God and trust Him to take care of the problem. Notice what the psalmist said there in Psalm 35:17. It said, Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue my soul from their ravages, my only life from the lions. Give slanders and gossips after you've done all that you can do, give it to God and get on with your life. I think that if people are besmirching you, damaging your reputation, the best way to overcome that is by simply continuing and doing well. Stoll said this, when we are victims of gossip, we need to realize that God knows, that He cares, and that He can deal with the situation. We can find peace only when we leave the situation to Him who judges righteously. God knows what's going on. He'll take care of you. He won't let you down. And then the final thought from a man named Herman. He said, the surest method against scandal is to live it down by perseverance and well-doing, and by prayer to God that He would cure the distempered mind of those who traduce us and injure us. A lot of material, but I think it's deadly important stuff. Let us not sin with our mouths. And when we are sinned against by other people's mouths, let's make sure that we take it in a way so that our light shines and we don't judge, we don't join evildoers in their evil doing. We'll just simply conclude with Psalm 141 and verse 3. Let this be the sentiment and the prayer of all of us as we start going through our day tomorrow. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. If you're here and you're not a child of God, I hope this lesson convinces you The God who created us knows better than we how we ought to live our lives. Wouldn't it be a wonderful world if everybody used this little thing just the way Jesus Christ used it? It would be a wonderful world. And so let's do all we can to make the world wonderful and get to the wonderful world to come by serving the God who loves us more than we love ourselves. If you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, confess your faith, repent of your sins, come forward right here and right now and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Go under the watery grave of baptism lost, come out saved because you've been forgiven of your sins by the precious blood of the Lamb. And maybe you've had a problem with letting your mouth go when it shouldn't be going. And you need to get right with your brethren to get right with God. Or maybe you just need help from your brethren. Confess your weakness. Ask your brethren to hold you accountable. We're here to help each other get to heaven. And if there's anything we can do to that end, you tell us what. Come as together we stand and sing.